Hello, everyone. Hi, Andre. Welcome to Cyber Revolution. It's good to have you here. I'd like to begin the conversation by maybe asking a little bit about your work at Unit 42. What do you do? And maybe you can also tell us what are some of the threats that you see emerging for the next year in 2025, considering the role of state actors in this geopolitical climate that we see.
Yes. Thanks for having me. So, first of all, Unit 42 is a bunch of consultants at Palo Alto Networks that is serving globally its clients. It's consisting of a large team of threat researchers that are investigating cybercrime, state actors, and hacktivists and what they are up to. And it's also represented by consultants that help clients during incident responses, where we also can collect our information and our intelligence on different threat actors. Plus, we help clients to prevent those kinds of attacks, giving them early warnings or helping them to set themselves in a position that they can detect and prevent those kinds of attacks. Looking into the evolution of the threat landscape is that we see since last year basically a trend that is consisting out of three different evolutions. First of all, we see that the level of sophistication of attackers is rising. So it's pretty much from sophistication level, hard to tell a state actor from a cybercrime group because they improved on the cybercrime group to a big extent using different kinds of social engineering and technical features. We see that the speed of attacks is increasing. So we talk about hours of dwell time. So between the click and something is happening like encryption, like data exfiltration, just in a few hours. And 2 years ago, it has been weeks and months. This is different for state actors, which are usually up to pre-positioning and persistence. So they want to stay in long and they won't want to be seen. But we also see that the scale of attack is increasing. So with all the publications of different vulnerabilities, threat actors have put themselves into a position that they are capable to identify hundreds of thousands of exposed devices globally within less than 15 minutes. And they are also in the capacity to exploit them to a large extent. So this is trends that we see increasing. We see that the exploitation of vulnerabilities that are internet facing is rising, and it's more prominent than phishing, which is still an important factor of entrance. But we see that the exploitation of those vulnerabilities has become more than a trend. In regards of the development on the state actor side is that coming from 2024, which has been a super election year, so there have been 60% of the global people have had elections during the year. There has been a lot of campaigns and trends. We have seen Chinese threat actors acting in the United States. We have seen a lot of Russian influence. We have seen Chinese actors in Southeast Asia. So there is a lot of activity ongoing, also influential campaigns in the conflict in Gaza and around Israel. So there is a lot of noise and a lot of activities of these actors.
And based on your experience and all of these threats that you talked about, what are some, let's say, advanced defense strategies that you would recommend for federal agencies, critical infrastructure, and private organizations to follow?
Yes. So thank you for the question. There's a lot of technical improvements that we have seen in regards of detection, in regards of leveraging machine learning, in regards of automation, because just based on those trends of the speed that actors are bringing to that game, you need to put more work into automation, into machine learning, so quote-unquote AI technology that is leveraging and helping and resolving much faster than human beings can. It's also important that information sharing and partnering is prominent. There is a lot of activities already ongoing in the last years that the industry and the different agencies are working together. This needs to be put on a broader basis. This needs to be also done more, because if you see something happening there and basically having a faster and broader exchange in the community is helping everybody to react to new trends. And investing in the organizational side, because yes, technology helps to become faster, but in the end, tools need to be operated by people that are sophisticated, that are trained, that know how these things are working to prevent them, to identify and detect them.
And as we see the European Union, let's say, pushing for greater technological sovereignty, and then we see a potential U.S. isolationist power. In this increasingly fragmented international system, how can the EU leverage this situation to increase our cyber resilience?
Yeah, so there have been some legal trends, just mentioning the NIS 2, the DORA, the CRA, which are, let's say, with a good intention. We need to see that these are actually ending in the right implementation of processes and technology and not just become some compliance operations that is taking care of a lot of documents and audits. So it needs to become practiced and best practice cybersecurity in this regard. I'm kind of shy to say that we will have sovereignty when it comes to technology and products in the European Union, because chips are usually manufactured in Taiwan. Most of the software developments is done in Israel, is done in the United States. And we don't have actually a big hyperscaler that is coming in Europe. So that's, I would say, we will rely on the United States, how much we want to have this independence, because it's basically just choosing between different states or nations to support us on our journey to secure ourselves.
But moving forward, do you think that this has been a sort of wake-up call for the EU to start launching different initiatives to, let's say, not achieve this sovereignty, but maybe gain some independence and more resilience on its own?
Yeah. So I'm a long time in this industry and have been at a lot of conversations and discussion, and this topic of sovereignty and waking up. And we had Snowden, we had different attacks from Russia, we had seen different influence operations by the Chinese. It becomes a constant conversation for more than 10 years now. I have not really seen something that goes beyond some legislative acts, so real big investments, funding, alliances and cooperations that France and Germany are sitting together and working something out that can work in the European Union. I have not seen a big reach to the Eastern European countries being involved. We have a lot of sophisticated workforce when it comes to software development. There's a lot of possibility on the production side as well. So I have not seen this leverage. So it has been for the best part of 10 years on the conversational level. And it's giving me a hard time to consider that this is going to change in the next 2-3 years.
Absolutely. And well, you represent, the company you represent is Palo Alto. It's an American company that has a strong presence in Europe. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about what they're doing in terms of solutions or any technology in particular that comes to your mind that could be relevant for this conversation?
Yes, of course. So Palo Alto Networks is driving the concept of platformization. So coming from best of breeds is basically going toward the platformization where you have the platform of best of breeds. So, and we provide basically, coming from our history as being the first company that invented and brought to market the next generation firewall, have increased our portfolio to cover cloud security in different ways, offering SASE services, so secure access for different locations on a global scale. We provide also a platform for security operations, so we have according MITRE test the best XDR product for endpoint security. We have developed XSIAM, which is basically an automated and sophisticated platform for security operations. So if you will, it's kind of a next-gen SIEM where we have a lot of experience put into, and also all the machine learning technology that we include since 10 years into a product that is leveraging and helping security operations, rather from pure log congestion and alert evaluation, bringing it to next level, which basically, as explained, the timing, the sophistication requires to put into. Also that we have a workforce shortage when it comes to security analysts, so to security operators. So we need to put more technology in the place that can cover those gaps that we have there, and also covering on a 24/7 basis kind of operations.
One of the things that I do at Coupinger Call is I do research on SOAR, mm-hmm. and I recently published a report where Palo Alto scored quite high mm-hmm. on this area. And if I compare this report to the one I did 2 years ago, I saw most vendors were talking to me about Gen AI. It was something that they really wanted to share with me. How do you envision the role of the human analyst in the future in SOC operations? Do you think that this technology is something that could potentially transform the human analyst?
Yeah. There's basically two things. When we talk about Gen AI, this is usually helping translation, machine logs, IP data, congested data into something that I can read in a human way, depends on the translative function, and also that I can ask questions, that I can have kind of a conversation with the system. So this is kind of the co-pilot systems that a lot of vendors are providing. What makes us kind of unique is something that we have named in this year Precision AI, which is basically the topic for all our machine learning technologies that we have invented and built in the last 10 years. And this is helping in a way to give you kind of a use case. We have kind of the bore out situation for SOC operators, because imagine one use case: you receive hundreds of phishing mail requests from the different employees. So everybody is getting a phishing mail, is tagging it. You need to look into it, you have to evaluate it, you have to generate a rule, and you do this 500 times. This is filling up, let's say, 90% of what a SOC operator is doing. And exactly this use case, getting the mail, making the detonation of the content and tagging it at it's malicious, it's benign, and setting up a general rule that you can handle 500 in the background is something that the machine takes over. So it's taking off the load, so the operator can concentrate on the relevant alerts, can concentrate on the relevant incidents, so reducing the time of, I have to do a lot of boring, repetitive stuff, to going right to the meat, and taking the analytics and doing the right measures and becoming much faster, and making also the job more fun again, so that you concentrate on what you actually want as an analyst, as an operator. You want to dig deep, you want to identify what is happening in the attack, you want to help the company to prevent and mitigate those. But this is, in the past, has not worked out, because it was a lot of different stuff. And if I put more into playbooks, in automation and support of machine learning of tasks and resolution of tasks, This is changing the game. And this is something that we have put, with the experience of different of our clients and our own SOC operation, into the XIM platform. And this is a game changer from our point of view.
From what I can get from this conversation is that we see that cyber threats are moving fast. We see a delicate geopolitical climate. But we also have new technological developments that are attempting to address some of these challenges, and companies like Palo Alto are doing this. Maybe my last question would be, moving forward in 2025, is there anything you'd like to share to the audience, anything to keep in mind for next year?
Yeah, so next year is kind of the compelling event for a lot of organizations in Europe when it comes to critical infrastructure. In these two implementation, we will see what happens in Germany due to the break of the coalition. So will this move in the future, and how will this become effective? So this is a big milestone for a lot of our clients. The other thing is the DORA, which is basically for the financial sector, also the regulation in regards of taking measures to put more resilience in the cyber landscape. So this will cover a lot. But we see a lot of political events moving forward, and this comes also always with kind of a hybrid scenario. So we see a lot of pre-positioning, we see a lot of influence operations that is growing over the different regions. So there will be more, or there will be higher trends from Russia, for sure, when it comes to effectiveness of NATO, when it comes to invest, when it comes to forming a new government in Germany in the next year. Same might be for France. The government currently breaks also. So there will be a lot of things that puts noise in the cyberspace. There will be exfiltration of data. And we need to prepare ourselves for this. And looking forward into the more stricter conflict in China and also in Israel, looking on our supply chains, there needs to be awareness, there needs to be preparedness, and there needs to be a good invest for security to put more resilience into our businesses, the industry, into the state and the operations.
Exciting times.
It is.
We're no longer living in this end of history of the 1990s. Things are moving fast and changing. And well, that's all for today. Andre, thank you so much for your time and for sharing all these insights. And for the audience, just make sure to check out Kupinger Call, our website, or head out to Palo Alto. And we cover many of these topics that were discussed today. So thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot. Yeah.